In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was. Here and now, among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven, God is. In the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found fulfillment, God will be. Not denying the world, but delighting in it. Not condemning the world, but redeeming it. Through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God was, God is, God will be. Would you join me in our call to worship as we sing together the first verse of Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. Please stand if you're able. God is good, and all the time. Amen to that. And what a good day to be here in the Lord's house to worship and celebrate these many years of Christian ministry right here in Elon, North Carolina. Today, if you haven't figured it out already, is Homecoming Sunday, which means, of course, we have lots of food after the service. There'll be a service in between, but between now and eating, we do come to worship and give thanks to God for the many blessings, the faces who have passed through these halls and into this place, the lives who have been transformed, the community and the impact God has made on it through the people of this congregation. We are excited to celebrate that today. And we're especially excited to welcome to the pulpit Dr. Terry Farmer. Dr. Terry Farmer is sitting right over here with his wife, and he'll be coming in a moment to share. Terry has served churches all over the South throughout his ministry career. He was educated at the University of Mississippi, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Campbell University. So he is coming to us with a great wealth of knowledge and experience in ministry. His wife, Delinda, and he live in Sanford, North Carolina. They have a number of kids whose names are listed there in your bulletin: Vivian, Ashley, Leah, and a son, Quentin, and 8 grandchildren. You will be busy for a long time, my friend. Congratulations to you. Formerly, he served as the pastor of Mebane, First Baptist Mebane, where he retired. And you may remember Dr. Farmer during his time here at First Baptist Elon, where he was the interim for the interim. If you may remember, Dennis had some back trouble and was down, and so Dr. Farmer graciously agreed to come and to serve during that period and built some very strong relationships. He already has long-lasting relationships with many of you, especially Laura, our music minister, where you served at Mebane with Dr. Farmer and got to know him very well. So we're excited to have you here. Currently, and this is also a word of prayer and encouragement for you, Dr. Farmer, we continue to pray for you in your current interim at First Baptist Church in Gibsonville, just down the road from here. It's a pleasure and honor to have you with us today. Let us continue to worship in the hearing of Scripture, through prayer, through music and song, as we celebrate what God has done and will continue to do.
Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him, bless his name.
For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues to all generations.
Amen. What a wonderful way to begin our time of worship. If you would now bow with me in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you and praise you. You alone are God. You are the creator of everything. We lift your name high and worship your true name. Help us to serve you with joy. Help us to love you in all that we do with all our hearts, our souls, our minds, and our strength. Help us to love ourselves as you love us. Help us to love others as we love ourselves. Help us to live humbly as we follow you as our shepherd. You are good and full of mercy. You are faithful always. Your grace and love endures forever and covers every generation. You are Lord of all. You are Father. You are Son. You are Holy Spirit. Forever and ever and ever we worship you. And we praise you. We lift this name in your Son's, Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, we celebrate homecoming. A year ago, we gathered in the same place. We gathered with the same purpose, to worship and to serve. And we gathered for food as well. Let's face it, we're Baptists, right? But today, we gather in this place. And since that last gathering a year ago, we've had many opportunities, many ways of service through this year. And so this morning, we want to share a few of those memories with you.
Thank you. Please stand for our hymns of praise. The first one is Love Has Come. Please stand. Let's worship the Lord together.
Well, I know this life is filled with sorrow, and there are days when the pain just lasts and lasts. But I know there will come a day when all our tears are washed away, with a break in the clouds, with glory coming down. In that moment, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that God is love. Love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love. Love has come for us all.
For anybody who has ever lost a loved one, and you feel like you had to let go too soon, I know it hurts to say goodbye, but don't you know it's just a matter of time till the tears are gonna end. You'll see them once again, and in that moment every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that God is love. Love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love. Love has come for us all. Oh, and on that day we will stand amazed at our Savior God and King, just to see the face of amazing grace as our hearts rise up and sing.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, thank you for the cross. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Christ has paid the cost. Glory, glory, hallelujah, thank you for the cross. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Christ has paid the cost. And every knee shall bow, every
love, love has come for us all. Every heart set free, everyone will see that God is love, love has come for us all. That God is love, love has come for us all. That God is love, love has come for us all.
Amen. Please be seated. If you know this next song, it's called Greater, please join us and sing along. It comes from the scripture, 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Voices that keep telling me I'm not right. That's alright.
'Cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world. In the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
Bring your doubts and bring your fears. Bring your hurt and bring your tears. There'll be no condemnation here.
You are holy, righteous, and redeemed.
Every time I fall, there'll be those who will call me a mistake. Well, that's okay.
'Cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world, in the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
There'll be days I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war.
He's greater.
I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more.
He's greater, he's greater.
There'll be days I lose the battle. Grace says that it doesn't matter, 'cause the cross already won the war.
He's greater, he's greater.
I'm learning to run freely, understanding just how he sees me, and it makes me love him more and more.
He's greater.
'Cause I hear a voice and he calls me redeemed. When others say I'll never be enough. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world. In the world. In the world. And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
And greater is the one living inside of me than he who is living in the world.
Amen.
is an explosion of happiness.
These kids are so excited because they are receiving toys for the very first time.
Who doesn't want a gift? Who doesn't want a present?
It shows them that out there are people who really care about you.
You've got an army of volunteers that pack the boxes.
Our volunteers for Operation Christmas Child, I believe, are the lifeline of this project.
To think that we can be part of something that's going to reach over 10 million kids this year, that's exciting.
When the box ends into the hands of a child, that is not the end.
The big impact at the end of the day is lives that are changed.
It's my prayer that God will use you to tell others about His Son, Jesus Christ.
Operation Christmas Child is creating a ripple that's going around the globe.
So it started with a box, and it's ending with communities and countries being changed.
You know, these boxes are like a candle. It's a little bit of light that you take into a dark part of the world, and it makes a difference.
Thank you. Very good.
We want the children of the world to know that there is a God. He loves them.
Operation Christmas Child is so important because it helps to spread the good news of Jesus Christ all over the world. Well, this year, our mission friends, GAs and RAs, are sponsoring this project. So our church-wide goal is 100 boxes. So you can pick up more information on the table in the vestibule. Our collection day is Sunday, November 15th. And also in your bulletin, there is a great informational insert. It has great directions on how to pack your shoebox. So join us, join the mission groups, and join our church in our goal of 100 boxes for this year.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing this morning? Good. Now, today is a special day, right? What day is it? Homecoming. What is the best part of homecoming? The meal. I knew somebody was going to say it. So all the stuff we're doing up here, it's all about the meal, right? No. Okay, well, I got you there. How many of y'all walked through the fellowship hall at some point this morning and started smelling the food? I did. I'm guilty. I actually took 3 or 4 walks through the fellowship hall to smell the food, right? I'm already dreaming about what's going to be on my plate. Unfortunately, the pastors sometimes get to go last, so we get all the leftovers, right? Isn't that how it works? I am dreaming about that food. And so I thought, is there some way this morning that I can use that meal in our children's sermon? So my first thought was, why don't we all go upstairs and get early samples? Good for that? No, we can't do that. The food's not even all ready yet, and I don't think y'all would eat your lunch later. The second, your what? Your cake is, yes. We definitely start at the dessert table, right? My second thought was this. I could bring down samples of every dish that was upstairs in the fellowship hall, and we could just eat them down here while Pastor Farmer preaches in a few minutes. What do you think about that? Yes. But I don't have that many hands because there's a lot of food upstairs. So the third, and this is the one we're going to do. The third is I thought we would play a game up here in children's sermon time, and the winner, and that's y'all are all on the same team, gets to eat the food upstairs in just a few minutes. What about that? But if you don't win and if you lose, you don't get to eat lunch. Are you willing to take that challenge? You're all together as long as you can eat dessert. Well, that's negotiable. All right. You're all on the same team, okay? All right. So I need you to huddle up, put your heads together, not literally. I got 5 boys up here. You never know what that happens. So let me get the game. All right. The way this game works is this. There is the beginning of a saying on this whiteboard. Now, you can only answer once, and you answer once as a team. You cannot do more than once. If you do more than once, well, you just lose. If you don't get it right the first time, I'm sorry, no lunch. But if you do, you get lunch. All right? Are you ready? All right, I'm going to turn it around. You get to talk for like maybe 10 seconds, and then come with your answer. You ready? Get set? Wait a minute. Are you ready? Who's the team leader? Luke is the only one that didn't raise his hand. Luke, you are officially the team leader. So, all right, now, when I turn around, only one answer. You need to tell Luke what the answer is, and then he gets to give the answer, okay? All right, are you ready? Are you sure? Have you talked about the answer? Have you put your minds together? Who's the math person in this group? There's got to be a person who does math. Good at math. How many of you are good at English? Good at reading? A little bit of everything. Oh, we got it all covered. I am not worried about it. Remember, don't yell out the answer, because only Luke can give you the answer, and it has to be correct the first time. You don't get a second guess, okay? Are you ready? Get set. All right, talk to him. Talk to him. Fill in the blank. Talk to him. Talk to him. He's got to give us the answer. All right. Are you ready? Are you 100% confident that you got the right answer? Okay. On three, Luke, what is the answer? 1, 2, 3. Home, sweet?
Home.
I'm sorry, you're wrong.
Home, sweet church. What's it got?
I am so disappointed in you 5 guys. I can't believe that. That is, the home, sweet home is the obvious answer.
Home, sweet homecoming?
Home, sweet homecoming. That'd be a little bit better. Man, you should have done a children's sermon this morning, not me. I was thinking something that Mark said afterwards, and unfortunately you got it wrong, so no lunch. So anyway. Home sweet church. You've heard that before, right? No. Y'all have heard that before, right? No. Nobody gets to eat lunch. Yes, it's all for me. Home sweet church. You know, I was thinking about homecoming this week in my office, and I was thinking about what it means to be a church. And the more I thought about it, the words that kept popping up in my head were the same words that I would use to describe
my home. When I think of home, when I think of church, I think of family, right? When you think of home, you think of family. When you think of church, you think of family. When I think of church, I think of safety. It's somewhere that I can come and we can come to be safe, to talk and to share our thoughts and feelings and discuss things. So it's safety. That's home's the same thing for me. Another thing I thought of was food. I think of food when I think of church. Not just homecoming, because every Sunday night we have a meal as well. Wonderful time of fellowship around the table. When I think of home, I think of food too. I also think, when I think of church, I think of shelter. What's shelter? What is shelter? What is shelter, Danny? A place that you live in and go to. That's exactly what a church is, right? That's right. The last but not least, the most important thing I think that the church is to me, and I hope it is to you, is that the church is love. When I think of home, I think of love. But when I think of the church, I think of love. I think of looking out in this congregation and seeing all the men and women and teenagers and children and everyone. And I know that when I look into their eyes, they love me. They love me for who I am. They love me for what I do. Love is an important part of church. But love goes even farther than that. Because I know when I'm at home, Jennifer and Samuel and Luke, they love me and I love them. But the love here at the church even goes further, because there's a love that God has. A love that God has for us when we gather in this place to worship. Now, when I say home sweet church, I think when I come here, I can be loved, I have shelter, I can get food, I can have family, and I can praise and worship our God. So when you think of homecoming, don't just think of the food, it's an important part, but also think about what it means to be a part of this church, because there's been many people who have made this place what it is today and for many, many years. That's what church, and that's what homecoming is all about. There's a verse in Scripture that tells us that, Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read from the message today because I think it's a cool way of saying it. It says this: that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home, and He's using all of us to be a part of it. We see it taking shape day by day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Guess what? The church is our home, but it's God's home as well. That's why we gather here. That's why First Baptist Elon has gathered here for many, many years, and that's why we continue to gather for many, many years to come. So remember that. And guess what, guys? I'm still going to let you eat lunch. All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and let's thank God for placing First Baptist Elon right here so we can be at home. Stand up.
Well, I'm thankful for these young men. I'm thankful for the energy and life they bring to our congregation every Sunday. Not just this day. And God, we're thankful that you have placed this room, First Baptist Church, in this place, so we can gather and be a family, worshiping and serving you, loving each other, loving you, and loving our community. Father God, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this time. Lord, thank you.
Please stand and sing our offertory hymn, Because He Lives. It's in your hymn book, number 407, and the words will also be on the screen. Please stand.
Thank you. May we pray. God, we worship you with our word and with our songs. We praise you with our tithes. Everything we have is yours. These offerings are for your kingdom. Bless the gift and the giver. Amen.
For just a moment, it'll be easier, and you'll see why. What we want to do is acknowledge our membership. We're a big part of homecoming is always looking back, looking at the history of the church and where we've come from. So I'm going to ask you to sit down unless you've been a member of this congregation for over 20 years. If you've been here over 20 years, remain standing. Now, I'm not going to ask how old you are. I'm just asking how long you've been a member. Let's give these longtime members a big hand. Now, I'd like to reach back even further. If you're a charter member of this congregation, would you remain standing? Charter member. Let's give Ann a big hand. We also want to acknowledge where God is taking us, and I'd like to invite, if you have joined this congregation in the last year or two, would you please stand? These are our newer members. Welcome to all of you. You may be seated. We say God is good all the time, every Sunday, or just about every Sunday. And indeed, you see what we are celebrating is the way God has started something here in Elon so long ago, a mission coming out of Burlington into this community. And it's a mission that is still alive and strong as God continues to add to this congregation and to change us and shape us to meet the needs of the future. Our prayer for this week is to ask God to show us continually, where are we going on this path? Let's continue to worship.
Thank you. Good morning. It is indeed a pleasure and a joy to be back here with you. I wanted to thank Mason so much for the generous welcome that he gave me, and he told me I'd just take as much time as I need, so we got the food up there. It'll wait. I can preach as long as I want. He gave me permission. I know he did. That's not too funny around Baptists, I can tell you right now. Started getting all those crazy looks. I remember when I first went to First Baptist Mebane, I had an associate pastor that had a real sense of humor. His name was Steve Zimmerman. Some of you may have run across him from time to time. And it came up that at the very beginning of my tenure there, just a few years in, couple, two or three years, that a very staunch supporter of the church and longtime member of the church passed away. And I was told this was going to be a very important funeral because not only was this person attached to our church, but they had members in the other three big churches just around the corner from the Baptist church, and that I better be prepared to bring a really good message. So I'm getting a little nervous. I'm upset. I don't know if I'm going to say the right thing or not. Have you ever been in those situations? You didn't want to offend anybody, but you wanted to make sure you covered everything just right. And so I had done my sermon in manuscript, thinking that at least I've got the words here. But then I got up there and I realized this person had touched my life too. And when you've got a tear or two in your eye, it blurs what you're looking at. So I thought, oh my, I'm really in trouble here. And I look up in the balcony and there's this associate pastor and he's doing this. And I can't crack a smile. This is a real serious funeral here. I didn't know what to do. I was trying to keep down the expression of laughter that I was going to burst forth with, because I know nobody would understand that. And at the same time, and he doesn't let go. The whole sermon, he's... he was making fun of the fact I had told him that I might choke, and so he was really giving it to me. I can tell you right now, that God led me to this passage of Scripture, and I want to share it with you because of the way you have touched my heart, even the short months I was here, just the history of this church. I can worship in this sanctuary. I don't know about the rest of you, but it's just something about being in this sanctuary. It leads me to want to worship the true and living God. Would you share the Word of God with me now? Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. And from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have in you, in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long after you all in the tender mercies of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Paul's writing to a church that he dearly loved. Some have called this letter that he writes the high water mark of the New Testament. I can tell you the New Testament professors that I sat under at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, expounded on Philippians in such a way to make me just want my spirit to soar with them over all the possibilities in the Christian faith. And so I have a few words I want to share with you this morning because of the great honor and privilege and joy that I have being with you here today to worship. Because I feel like that one of the real things that's going on in this world, with all the discrepancies sometimes we hear about in churches, all the despair that we hear about in the world, all the destruction that we see in the lives of so many people. My heart was never more broken when I saw all those refugees streaming from Syria, and they were piling into boats and couldn't hang on. And I looked, and there floating in the water by the boat was a little baby. And I thought to myself, we live in a very cruel world at times, and we need an anchor to hang on to. Something powerful and strong and wonderful that can lead us through even the most difficult of times, but also an expression of joy in the hope that we have in our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is that positive thing that leads me on to face any challenge anywhere. In the introduction, you notice that I've recently been called to be the interim pastor at First Baptist Gibsonville, but I've been over there for a couple of months off and on as a pulpit supply. I want for every church, I want for every congregation of believers, a sense of purpose, a sense of joy, and a sense of accomplishment for the things of God. And so I share with you this morning these few points from this passage I've just shared with you. I love the introduction that he comes. Grace and peace unto from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So I bring that with you. But that's a standard greeting among Christians of this time. Grace and peace. They're two words in their original language. They're taken from the Hebrew and the Greek. Grace is a Greek word, charis. And Hebrew is from the word that you're very well familiar with, shalom. And so he's speaking to an audience of people who have been converted possibly from the Jewish faith and from the new people who are coming from outside the Jewish faith, the Greeks. And he wants for them to know his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First, I want to say to you that upon every memory that I have of this church, it's fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed being here. I enjoyed the Wednesday night meals. I enjoyed the fellowship. I enjoyed the music, the choir, our musicians, wonderful that they are. And I'm so thankful for you. I enjoy the thought that in this community there is a church that is about the business of leading people to Christ. And I remember how you have worked hard to present an image that is real, an image that will draw people here. And that image is of our Christ who died for us. I pray for you. I pray a lot. I still teach part-time out at the community college over in Alamance. And I can tell you right now that in my hour and 10-minute drive, I pray. Sometimes it's because that deer is about to hit me. Sometimes it's because people get in a little bit too big a hurry in the morning. And sometimes because it's pouring rain so hard I can hardly see the road and I wonder if the bridge is out. But I pray. And in those attempts to pray, in those attempts to lift up, I never forget the places that God has called me to serve, whether it's just 1 week or whether it's over a period of years. But I pray several things for you. I pray that you continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you lift him up in this community. And I pray that you have peace about your place in this journey. Now, we all sing that when we all get to heaven. But I don't see many churches getting a busload up ready to go right now. What I do see are people who know that life can be difficult, life can be hard, but life has its joys. And one of the joys is knowing that you've helped someone find peace in their eternity. I hope you'll buy Billy Graham's book. This is not an advertising point, but his last book, and his son said this may be very well his last book, is about eternity. That's one subject that I want to talk about with anybody who will listen to me. I want to talk about, have you made peace with your eternity? Have you found some joy in your eternity? Someone once said to me, as I was trying to talk to them about the Bible, I don't know what's going to happen. And I said to them this, listen, my friend, when you settle the issue of where you're going, then you're ready to live life. When you face the possibility that your life can now be over shortly and you made peace with it, you're now really ready to begin living life. Because once you get that issue settled, then you don't have to walk around in fear. You don't have to walk around in doubt or worry. You have in your heart the eternity of God. And with that eternity, it changes how you approach the issues of life. And so I want for you in my prayers that constant peace that gives us confidence. The third thing I want for you in the gospel, and I thoroughly enjoy this here, is the fellowship of the gospel. There's just something beautiful and wonderful about coming to God's house with people that love the Lord and who enjoy being here with you, knowing that even if you fail in your journey, they're going to love you anyway. I told you about my grandmother catching me shooting my sister with a slingshot. I shared that story. I'm not going to repeat it again right now. But I remember the phrase she used as she corrected me. God help you, child. God love you, because I'm having a hard time doing it right now. Now, I got to tell you, God doesn't promise us a perfect life, but He does promise us that He will go with us every step of the way. And you know what I see? In the travels and journeys of my life, in the preaching and pastoring, I have found that I see a little bit of God in all of God's people. And it's that fellowship with other people who bring a bit of God with them that helps me understand God's purpose and His plan and the power of living in Christ. And so fellowship's important. The Bible says it another way in another place. Don't forsake yourselves fellowshipping with one another. Let me just say, that's more than just sitting down with a bowl of food. That brings to mind Galatians 6:2. Bear ye therefore one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We can't be the church. We can't do the church if we're not willing to bear one another's burdens. Because what do we say to a lost and dying world out there that needs Christ so dearly? Come to Christ. And He will make a difference. But guess what? You and I often are the difference. If we don't do what we say we tell people that Jesus will do, we have not accomplished God's purpose in our life. But if we do, imagine how that changes someone else's lifestyle. I like this next one. It's found in verse 6. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now, I have leaned on that confidently more than once when I thought to myself, I have failed. I've let God down. I have not achieved what God wanted in my life. But it's not my choice, and it's not your choice. It is God's choice, and He promises you, no matter how low things may get or how high things may go, He will help you perform the calling that He puts in your life. You say, oh, preacher, I'm not called to be a pastor or a speaker. That's fine. I guarantee you, God's got 1,000 other things He can use you to do. And He will, if you trust Him and walk with Him, He will perform it. He will make sure it happens. That word has about it a sense of powerful action compacted into one being. Think about all the times you said, oh, I wished I could have done that. When in reality, sometimes performing God's will is simply showing up and fellowshipping with other believers. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed my Sunday school classes. And one thing I looked forward to every time was to talk to a friend or believer in Christ in community and fellowship. I'm telling you, He's going to perform it, and He will. He goes on to say, I have you in my heart, in verse 7, inasmuch in my bonds, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. First word, that defense, is a word we draw from something called apologetics. It's a fancy way of saying we're going to defend our point of view and give you the reasons why we believe what we do. In another place in the Bible, it says that all Christians should stand ready for a defense of the gospel. I'm telling you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, it is important more today than any other time for you to know why you're a Christian. It's not because grandma and grandpa go to that church. It's not because your boss attends that church. It's not because you have been to a Bible school somewhere and you have a lot of answers. Those are no reasons to give for your reason to trust Christ. It should be because you met Him. And you discovered that if you put your faith in Him, He would redeem you, restore you, and make you a useful instrument of His kingdom. Because in faith you trusted Him, God is going to provide. And it will in itself be a defense. My first church was a little country church out in North Texas. And as we all did, the preachers would get together about once a month and we'd fellowship. Sometimes we'd complain a little bit. Okay, we complained a lot. But I remember one pastor saying that he prayed for this one man who was an alcoholic. And he'd prayed for years. The man had been through every AA program, every dry out program that there was, and he always came back to the alcohol. He said, I got the strong sense that I was just to let him know I was praying for him and that I loved him if I could help, but that I was definitely to keep praying for him. He said, I pastored there a number of years, and one Sunday that man came into church and he had a fifth of whiskey in his hand and he brought it and he laid it right there on the altar. And he said, I've got to tell the church something. And he said, well, go ahead, please. He said, I don't need this anymore. I've heard about Jesus all my life. I've been to Sunday school all my life. I've attended church all my life. But I never really depended on Christ all my life. And he said, I want the church to know that I'm not depending on this bottle anymore. I'm just going to depend on Jesus Christ. Now, folks, I want to get real with you here for just a second as I close. I don't know what you're depending on. But if you're depending on anything less than your faith in Jesus Christ, you're betting on a horse that's going to lose the race. And I want for you the joy I have that whether things are great and going good, as Paul would say, or if they're just doing horrible, my faith is in Jesus Christ, and I hope yours is. When we talk about the confirmation of the gospel, preachers are not the confirmation of the gospel. The confirmation of the gospel is what happened in your heart. I can't confirm the gospel for any of the rest of you. The only person I can truly confirm the gospel for is Terry Farmer. That's it. But I come to believe this, that by the way we live our lives and the voice we give to our faith, we become what God wants us to be. We don't have to pound on the podium. We don't have to bring a big black Bible and shove it in people's face. You see, what wins people to Christ is how has Christ been real in you. And that's it. You know what broke me a pound in the pulpit? Had a little lady that had a nervous condition I didn't know about. And I was about ready to make a point, and I was one of those old country preachers. I'd get wound up, and boy, I'd come up there, and I was going to hit that podium hard, and I did. And she jumped up and screamed and ran out of the church. True story. And I said to God, God, I won't do that again. I learned my lesson. But I had a deacon. His name was Larry Wood. You might know the company. It's over in Memphis. Larry Wood Sr. was sitting behind this lady about 6 weeks later. She finally got up enough nerve to come back to church. And Larry wanted to greet her. We had that greeting time where we turn around and say, good morning, God bless you. And he reached up and touched her on the shoulder. Now, this woman was one of those kind of ladies that if she had any excitement unexpectedly, she reacted with screaming and yelling. And Larry started shaking her shoulder. And she started screaming. And this went on for a good 30 or 40 seconds. Seemed like 2 hours to me. And finally she broke loose and took off. And I said, Larry, what in the world? He said, preacher, it was like I grabbed a 220-volt electric wire and I couldn't let go. I want to close with this thought. I hope you grab a hold of Jesus Christ and you never, ever let go. He's the one thing you can count on. Would you pray with me? Father God, I ask your blessings upon this congregation and its pastor. I ask that each member of the staff and the joy of all those who lead in voluntary positions glorify Jesus Christ. I pray that every member of this church has some joy in their life and peace about the final end of this life, because it's short and it's coming. God bless this church. Bless this homecoming that in years to come they'll have to build another building to put everybody in. God bless this community. May it find Christ at its heart. God bless our purposes together. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. However you would respond, I'll let the pastor come and announce the hymn.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry, for that good word. Would you please stand as we respond to that word in singing our hymn of response, Come Just As You Are. Please stand if you're able.